In the name of God, hello and welcome to Islam and Life. Today we're going to talk about Islam and social relations. Now, Islam has a guide and an answer to everything. So we would like Dr. Shamili to explain the aspects in terms of Islam. So before we start, I would like to welcome our guests for being here, and also Dr. Shamili, our special guest. Thank you and welcome for being here.
Thank you for your warm welcoming statement.
You're welcome.
I need to express my salam to the guest, to yourself, Mahdi.
Thank you.
And to the brothers and sisters in Islam who are watching this program. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi al-Tayyibin al-Tahiri.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa alihi Muhammad.
Going back to a new topic, talking about the Islamic teachings in terms of managing, or you could say improving, our social relationships.
Before you start, could you tell us who we're going to talk about?
When we say social relations, it begins normally from family relations. Then we go to the neighborhood. Then we go to the city, province, country, nation, ummah, and Islamic world, internationally. So how do we manage our social relations in terms of Islamic teachings? There is a discussion among the sociologists and also among the Quran interpreters, that how do we define human being? Could we have a type of Quranic definition with regard to the human being? You know that there are different definitions in terms of different approaches, different schools, different views, different perspectives. Who is human being? Who are human beings? Philosophers, theologians, sociologists, psychologists have their own definition. But one major discussion is that human beings, in their nature, are they created individually or socially? Do they tend to be individual, to be themselves? Or are they created social? Human being is individual, is a kind of individual being or social being? You know, like in animal kingdom, you have different animals, some like ants, monkeys, honeybees, baboons, zebras. You know, there are animals who live in group, in form of a society, a group, and some live individually. At most, they live two pairs, small family. But the lifestyle is individual. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran talks about in one form about the human nature, that we have created human being to live together. Okay? We have created them in a form that they tend to live together. Why? What is the philosophy? لِيَتَّخِذَ بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا سُخْرِيًّا. We have created them in a social life in a social form, in a social lifestyle, in order to make them, in order to facilitate for them to employ one another. لِيَتَّخِذَ بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا سُخْرِيًا. Why? In social life, if there is no coexistence, if there is no mutual support, mutual help, there is no meaning for social life. Social life is a type of facilitation for human beings to meet their needs in an easier way, in a better way. So life qualification depends partially on social life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts it in a very precise way. It doesn't say, we have created human beings to have top-down relationships. What nowadays humanity suffers at an international level when they talk about world order, superpowers, you know, globalization, Americanization, Westernization, you know, they're all talking about top-down relationships. People who are as elites located on the top and people who are located at the bottom. So these types of social relations lead to hegemony, to oppression, to tyranny, tyrannical relations. Okay? Someone, you know, white higher class, black, lower class. Just last Muharram, I was in South Africa. And still, a visitor, when he or she enters the city, will realize that there are still borderlines. There are four major areas. White areas, black areas, Asians, Asian area, and one another group, I don't remember. Different area, different facilities. And it shows that this country suffered from tyrannical relations. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts it in a very precise way. لِيَتَّخِذَ بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا سُخْرِيًا. We have created human beings in a social form in order to facilitate for them, to have mutual relationships. Okay? There is no hierarchy. Of course there are hierarchy, but not in terms of, you know,
race.
Discriminative scales. إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. There are creatures, human beings, who are located at the top, who are considered as saints. Saints of Allah, friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, awliya'ullah. They are the most pious people. But in terms of the lay people, the grassroots, the nation, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, خُلِقْتُمْ كَأَسْنَانِ الْمُشْطِ. Like the teeth of the tongue. Exactly the same. You could go top and down, but by your own activities. Then the statement, بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا لِيَتَّخِذَ بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا. This statement always, always provides the message of mutuality. Both sides. Two sides of a token. There is no top-down. Always, always, the relations must establish horizontally. On the same surface.
on the same level,
with the same facilities, with the same promotions, with the same background. Of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says we have created people in a different way, gifted with different qualifications, but that base is not for oppression. That is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to create different opportunities for different people to get involved. نَحْنُ قَسَمْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ مَعِيشَتَهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. We have divided, but in a form that we made them to come together to employ, not one-sidedly, one another. This is first. Second, sorry, I just prolonged.
It's okay.
I need to provide you this introduction. Then you realize that what is the difference between Islamic social relationships and non-Islamic social relationships. Equality, fraternity, and brotherhood. Brotherhood. So, Amirul Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi says, the good lifestyle for a Muslim, for a Muslim citizen in a society, is to know how to live with his or her neighborhood, his or her relatives. How? خالط الناس مخالطة إن عشتم حنوا إليكم وإن متتم بكوا عليكم. Treat people, relate to one another, perform, act, behave, make إن عشتم حنوا إليكم. If you live, people come to you, would like to live with you, coexist with you, حنوا, have tendency to live with you, to have you among them. وَإِن مُتْتُمْ, and if you die, بَكَوْ عَلَيْكُمْ, they are sorrowful. They feel they miss you. This is the very base. So in this way, you don't try to misuse, to abuse, to oppress, to provide your hegemony, your power. You know, Mahdi, in family, in your neighborhood, your area, in your city, in your province, in your country, there are ways that you treat one another. In Islam, the very base of social relations is the culture of care. Culture of care. In Islam, we do not have carelessness. When something happened to your brother and sister in Islam, you don't have right to say, sorry, yeah, I got very sad to see this, but you know, okay, this is your problem. Your problem? We don't have your problem. Our problem. من أصبح ولم يهتم بأمور المسلمين فليس بمسلم. This is a statement from Prophet Muhammad. Those who sleep on bed and they come to the morning without having any concern for other Muslims, whether in Palestine, in South Africa, in East Africa, in North Africa, in America, in this part or that part, without having any concern, فَلَيْسَ بِمُسْلِمٍ. According to what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, they're not considered as Muslim. Islam brings culture of care. So their problem is your problem. You need to make an action. You need to provide your effort to show your part, your share, resolution of the problems. This is what is provided to us.
Thank you for explaining so explicitly, Dr. Shamli. Now, do you have a comment or a question?
Yes, I think I should add a comment if Dr. allow me. It is not... do you know, for example, we have a story of Imam Ali that he said about the Jews, old woman who was oppressed. I think it's a good point that we mention. This is not just about Muslim who are...
But those who live in a Muslim society.
Of course.
You know, we do not have any concern about, you know, people who are not Muslim and they live in another... Okay? But Jews, Christians, Zoroastrians, whatever, whoever, who live as a citizen in an Islamic society, we have responsibility against all.
Thank you, Hussein. Doctor, we say that in Islam it says that you have to show care to yourself first. It's very, very important. Can we say that you have to show care for others as well, the way you show it for yourself?
Very tricky and problematic question, Mahdi.
And what was
you
the cause
always,
of the
always
you?
Troublemaker. I don't know why. You know, he says that, isn't it better to start, you know, type of care and responsibility from ourselves? Yes and no. Yes, because always, always care begins with ourselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us in a way that first and before every other being in the whole universe, we love ourselves. We call it self-love. In the Arabic term, we say hubbidat. Every human being, before and first of all, loves him or herself. Because if this wasn't this type of love, there wasn't life. The continuation of life, the meaning of life that I had in my previous sessions, begins with self-love. You need to love yourself, then you think about your perfection, your progress, your development. This is the very core. Mm-hmm. But we need to be very careful not to stuck with selfishness or being self-centered.
Yeah.
There are many people who know and they love themselves, but they are not able to go beyond. They're stuck with themselves. This is Red Cross. Okay? But we begin with ourselves, we love. If we didn't love ourselves, we didn't move. We didn't pay any attention to beyond ourselves. Okay? But we need to pass by this bridge and come up with the society. The society by and large, you know, in a vast way. When I say society, I mean all citizens of Muslim society, being Muslim or non-Muslim, because they are the citizens of Islamic society. Okay? So, culture of care. Culture of responsibility. كلكم راء وكلكم مسؤول. You know, in one way, all of you are the leader, are the shepherd. You need to take care of yourself, of your family, of your city, of your country, of your nation. And when you come to religion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةً. The borderline goes far. Not only yourself in terms of, you know, blood relations, or marriage, or family. Okay? When you come up with religion and faith, all faithful are brothers and sisters. They need to think. They need to have concern. They need to take an action, make an action. Okay?
Thank you, Dr. Shalom. Okay, Ali. Sorry to keep you waiting.
Please, my question is, which kind of impact that does what do you call it, traditions and culture has in social issues? Now you're talking about coming together as one people, one religion, one in regard of this kind of tribal ethnic background and other things. But there are certain things that break or that blocks us in terms of coming together. That's tradition and culture. Which kind of impact does that have in terms of social issues, social aspects?
You mean in
Islamic perspective?
In an Islamic perspective, in according to Islamic,
yeah, Islamic
teachers,
teachers.
As well as,
yes,
cultural,
local, yes,
national relations.
Man, this kind of, this,
yeah,
what I'm...
Very good example. Yes. Very good question.
Thank you
very much. Very good question. Mm-hmm. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةً, the very background, the very core and share point is faith. Faith and religion. So this is the very base. So all relations which are put and based and established based on faith has some results, has some consequences. I don't say consequences, some fruits, results. And that is, at the beginning, sympathy. Sympathy. Why? Because it is enough for us to refer to the social teachings, social rulings. I haven't done this, but I ask you, please, brothers and sisters who are, you know, watching and listening to this program, go and study and compare the proportion of Islamic rulings, Islamic teachings, individually and socially. Compare to one another. When you come to congregational praying, when you come to Hajj, when you come to Khums, to Zakat, Al-Amr bil-Ma'ruf, you know, all Islamic rulings and teachings, when you come to it, you see the majority of Islamic concern is with regard to the social rulings. Why it is obligatory for you to go to Hajj? Even once in life, why? It is obligatory for all Muslims, men and women. They need to go to they are able to afford it. Why? There are many, many reasons. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ. They go there to observe their interest. You need to go and talk and discuss and relate to one another to find ways of solution, ways of resolution. Then it says, "Inna awwal baytin وُضِعَ لِلنَّاسِ. The very first house on this planet, which is put for what? For who? For the people. And then you have the narration that I believe it is from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who says, يَدُ اللَّهِ مَعَ الْجَمَاعَةِ. If you're looking for God help, for divine group, stay with the society. If you stay behind, you will be eaten by the wolves. If you need to have security and support, you need always, always to join the group. You know, go and study the very strong emphasis that Islam and Islamic teachings has on social relations. So, sympathy, concern, action. It's not just mind. Unfortunately, nowadays, we are distanced from Islamic teachings. We have good slogans, but few actions. Few actions. When you enter Africa, whether they are Muslim or non-Muslim, when there is no culture of care, you will realize that human being, humanity is suffering. While Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi, in his famous letter to his ruler in Egypt, Malik Ashtar, which is known, all you know that nowadays this letter, the international movements in the United States, one of the famous written formal international documents within the United
States. Do they still have it after all these years?
Exactly. They have considered this letter of Ali ibn Abi Talib to Malik Ashab, the ruler of the Egypt at that time. Imam wrote a letter. How to rule? How to establish your state? Your sub-state in that time. It was so powerful. This letter has the command of content in a way that it is considered by the United Nations as one of the formal international documents. And in one part, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib says, of course this is your responsibility to take care of your surroundings, your neighborhood. But begin with the faithful, fellow Muslim. If you pass by, go to other human beings. Why? Because all creatures around you are related to you socially. Imma akhun laka fi ad-din aw nadhirun laka fi al-khalq. These people, whether they are your brothers and your sisters in terms of what? In terms of faith, or they are your similar. They are like you in what? In creation. Oh, nadhirun laka fil khalq. You are the same species, human being. You have the responsibility to take care. Sympathy, action. Islam.
Okay, but what happened?
Too much time.
Okay. Talking about, you said about taking care or showing care, showing love to others as well. You have to show love to yourself first and then show love to others, okay? Now I had one question. Should a person, after God, should a person love themselves or their mother?
A person?
A person, should they love themselves more or their mother?
It is impossible for to love because this is the very core of our nature. We human beings naturally and innately love ourselves before and first of every other being.
Because I've heard the expression, you have to love yourself to love others. So it's true.
Yeah, psychologically this is true. If you don't experience, if you don't enjoy to love yourself, you're never able to love others. Love is... Don't love yourself, how could come to love others? Your wife, your mother, your dad. But we love ourselves first and before every other thing. But religiously, we are to be able to move and to elevate from self-centeredness into love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so when you start from yourself, then you need to be able to distance. Otherwise, you will be stuck. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered, commanded you to accept Him, to worship but Him. Then, and you need to be sympathized and to do good and to be compassionate to your parents. Why? Because naturally you tend to love yourself and be good to yourself. But when it comes to your dad, to your parents, to your, you know, neighbor, you need to share your affections, your emotions. And one important point, you know, in managing the social relationships, you know, this is very interesting, that Ali ibn Abi Talib, salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi, wrote a letter to his son, elder son, Imam Hassan Mujtaba. And he said, I know that every of us begins to love him or herself. It's not detachable. It's inevitable that you begin with your love. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does in a way. But when you love yourself, you are not able to manage your life unless you be able to keep and put yourself instead of others in your social relationships. أَحِبَّ لِغَيْرِكَ مَا تُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِكَ. This is the most general and powerful statement and ruling in managing social relations. And it's not that easy. أَحِبَّ لِغَيْرِكَ مَا تُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِكَ. Like for others, whatever you like for yourself.
See, the reason I asked this question was because when you're a child, you don't understand about these things that you're mentioning now. So obviously, the first thing that a child loves is, I think, their mother. That's why I asked this question.
No, love, even with children, begins with egocentrism. Mm-hmm. Egocentrism. All psychologists believe that, you know, the very first emotional happenings with children is egocentrism. Because children love themselves and they behave in a way that they consider themselves the center of the world, of the universe. Then they distance and come out and, you know, come to understand the reality, realities. It takes time.
Now, okay, quick, because you only have 1 minute left. Okay, okay. So please, short answer.
My question is this, about an hadith I read, but Imam, one of the Imams saying, كُونُوا دُعَاتَ اللَّنَا بِغَيْرَ أَلْسِنَتِكُمْ. You know, why is this limitation in our communities, Muslims communities, that things that we read in our books like in Quran and Hadith shouldn't be implemented maybe in our society? Now there is a lot in Quran that is not being implemented in our society, that people are asking us. When I go to Africa, there are people who come to me and say, "You have a lot to say, but why is it that it seems you are hiding things to us? You don't want us to understand much about your religion. Why is this limitation? Why is this limitation? How can we have impact in not only the Muslim communities and other communities too through what we have?"
Okay, Ali, thank you, but time is up, okay? Do you have an answer with one sentence?
One sentence. Because we try to stay by being Muslim by name.
Thank you. Thank you, dear viewers.
Distant from practices. Unfortunately, we need to be sorry not to be able to practice Islamic rulings. And we see poorness and poverty, despite having those powerful.
Thank you, Dr. Shamali. Thank you, dear guests, for being here. Thank you, Dr. Shamali, for the excellent conversation, also speech. Thank you, dear viewers, for being with us. We enjoyed it. I hope you enjoyed it as well. This episode is finished, but we'll be back for the next episode. So please join us next week. I'm Mehdi Babagulzadeh, the host for this program. Don't forget, think beautiful to live beautiful. Bye-bye.